Hi, and welcome to the Calvary Foursquare podcast. Our goal at Calvary is to reach our community with the truth and love of Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians 2:8, it says that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. So if you would like to find out more of who we are, you can go to our new website at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or search for us on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare. Thank you for listening and enjoy the podcast.
What a surprise, you guys. Thank you. I am so blessed to be a part. Really, yesterday, as I just looked at everybody just serving and loving each other, and just, I thought, Lord, I'm the one who's blessed just to be able to be a part of what God is doing in this body. And so I'm going to quit crying, and we're going to read our scripture, Philippians 3, 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious or troublesome, but for you it is safe. Beware, or look out for dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, Paul says, but if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. He begins to tell his pedigree, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, he calls himself blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish. Why? That I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness, I'm sorry, I'm not turning. Where are we here? I've got lost at my scriptures. You guys can read with me. The righteousness, not concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, that I may gain Christ. And to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, this bears repeating, which is from the law, but which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. God bless the reading of your word. Father, we focus on these words as you've inspired the Apostle Paul to speak to us today. I pray, God, that you would open our eyes to see and to understand and assess rightly and apply this to our lives, God. That we would be living epistles read and known of all men. We would be salt and light in the world, God. Don't let the salt lose its savor, God. Don't let us hide our light under a bushel. We need you to give us revelation today that we can apply this truth and not just come to church and say that was nice and leave and be the same. God, I ask for mercy. Grant that we would grasp what it means to be the circumcision, the true children of Abraham. Teach us through this text and grant us the right of understanding who we are and who we are not. And what are adversaries? Who are the dogs? So, Father, we thank you for that. Amen. Amen. I'm going to go back to the beginning of this text, and we're going to talk about it from the beginning. Finally, he says. Uh-oh, there we go. Uh-oh. Went far, too far back. Anybody back there? Can we go to finally? There we go. Finally. Finally, my brethren, he says this. Well, he said finally in the verse 2. So he said finally, whatever's true, whatever's lovely, whatever's, you know. So this finally doesn't mean finally like we think of finally. It's the final. No, I think in another place that same Greek word was translated rest. So it's kind of like it's a final part. But really he's saying as far as the rest is concerned, my brethren, as far as the rest is concerned, rejoice in the Lord. Now, he said that a lot in this book, Philippians. Finally, as far as the rest is concerned, I'm going to repeat myself, he says. I'm going to say some of the same things that I've already said in this letter. As far as the rest is concerned, I'm not writing out of any great burden, he said. It's not troubling me to write these things to you. But actually, it's safe for you that I write these things. And he goes on to say, look out for the dogs. It's safe for you. And he's saying, rejoice. It's especially safe, but he's saying we have to keep our joy. The reason he's saying rejoice is because he's about to bring up there's some conflict in the church. And how do you know that the biggest thing to steal your joy is when there's relational conflict in your home, in your family, in your church, in your life? It zaps your joy. So he's saying, finally, rejoice in the Lord. That's the foundation. You have to keep your joy. And how do we get filled up with joy? The comfort of the Holy Spirit, but also when we come together. When you come in a room and people light up because you're there, your joy tank gets full. A baby, you know, when they see mama's face, do you know God is looking at you? His face looks on you. When you see the face of God looking at you saying, my child in whom I take great delight. And it's not because you're perfect or you're checking off your list. It's because you've been born of God, adopted, chosen, his doing. That's what he takes delight in you for. So you rejoice. Rejoice. So he's saying, rejoice because there's dogs plaguing this church. Evildoers plaguing the church. How easy it is to stop rejoicing. When conflict, trouble starts coming in our life and we're living for the fear of man, it steals our joy. So Paul's saying, I want you to rejoice, and I'm going to talk about this conflict. And it's good for you. It's safe for you. Some people say, I don't want to talk about all that negative stuff. No. You need to listen. I'm going to repeat myself, he says. So let's look back in the book and see what he's talking about. How is he repeating himself? If you go back to chapter 2 in Philippians, he says in chapter 2, oh, Sarah, are you doing, am I doing this or is someone back there? Okay, I'll get it. I just want to make sure we weren't working against each other. Here we go. He said, in your relationships with one another. Oh, yes. First, we're talking about. He said, we're going to look back here and see what is he talking about. He said, first of all, before this, he said, if there's any consolation in Christ, if you're having fellowship with the Holy Spirit, you're spending time with God, you know how beloved you are yourself. He goes on to say in 2:3, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ did. Who, being in the very nature God, he did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. So it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in authentic humility. You know, you can spot humility when it's authentic. Some people are proud of their humility. Have you noticed? Actually, they're not humble. Still, operating out of a root of insecurity, living to be seen of men, valuing, he says, no, I don't want you to do that. I want you to value others above yourself, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. I'm sorry, I'm really messing up this media today, but anyway, still. Abandon every display of selfishness. That's what he's saying. We have to do that out of the root and the knowledge of knowing how loved you are yourself by God. And that's where he says in Philippians 1, if you have any consolation of this, if you have this intimacy with Jesus, okay, now, do nothing through strife or vainglory. It seems to me that Paul is honing in on deal with your selfishness, people. Are you really about our four and no more? It's easy to do that. Are you about thinking about others, really others, and knowing how blessed you are in our relationships with one another, have the same mind as Jesus? Okay, what is that? Jesus was God, and he gave that up and put on a human body, which he still has today, with holes in his hands. Flesh and bone, it says. It says flesh and bone. You know why? It doesn't say flesh and blood. Because he bled out for you and for me. So rather, he himself made himself nothing. Jesus did. But you understand, Jesus was not a victim. He very much knew where he came from and where he was going. And out of that place, he removed his garment, he took a towel, and he girded himself, and he began to wash the disciples' feet. This is the King. This is the Creator. He knew, I am the beloved Father in whom he is well pleased. And you know, God spoke that from heaven when Jesus was obedient to go be baptized by John the Baptist, and he hadn't done anything yet. Nana. So he wasn't pleasing God because of all that he had done. He was just who he was. Out of a healthy self-love, he made himself nothing by reducing himself to the form of a lowly servant. And he said, the greatest in the kingdom is the servant of all. But taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. And you know, we have to become obedient to death, death on the cross. We give ourselves the sentence of death when selfishness wants to rise up, when we want to say things and just out of anger or temper, or we have to give ourselves the sentence of death because I have been crucified. And Jesus, I want you to live your life through me. So now Paul is writing the same things, he says. He's getting ready to give us another example of what it looks like to be the circumcision. First, Jesus. He's our ultimate example. Jesus. Then Timothy. Timothy was a living epistle. He said, I have no one else like Timothy who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. So Timothy is another living epistle. This is how he's saying the same things. He's showing us, what does it mean to be the true circumcision? And Epaphroditus, he was also. He said, but I think it necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, who was also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. These are servants washing feet, doing what Jesus did, caring for other people. So that's what he's saying. They write the same thing now. I'm saying, okay, you are this. He said, beware of the dogs now. And before he, then he says, he tells them who they are. They are the circumcision. So what does he say then after that? There's Epaphroditus right there. Okay, who worship God in spirit. This is a sign of the circumcision. First of all, he said, you are the circumcision who worship God in spirit, who glory in Christ Jesus. Three, who put no confidence in the flesh. That's a sign that God has graciously stepped in and offered salvation. When he stepped in, when he appeared to Abraham in Genesis 17 and made the covenant with Abraham, he stepped in. And circumcision was the sign of you're in covenant with God. I am your God and you are my people. That was the outward sign, just like baptism is an outward sign today that you belong to God. It's no longer you who live. No longer does Jeannie live. Now she's still under the water. Now Christ in her lives. But she has to every day put to death that old man that wants to rise up out of that water. Don't you know? So he's coming and saying, beware of the dogs, beware, look out for the evildoers, look out for the mutilators of the flesh. What's he talking about? Somehow something was happening and people were treating circumcision or the covenant of God in a way that Paul called it mutilating, making the outward something that it was never supposed to be. And that's what religion does. So, in a sense, we are the true circumcision. He didn't say Jew or Gentile, but in what sense are we the circumcision? What does it mean to have the true sign of belonging to God by covenant? What does it mean? First, we worship by the Spirit of God. It's the first mark of true circumcision. We don't worship merely on empty human tradition. God Almighty has caused us to be born again. When your heart's engaged in worship, you can't help but be somewhat emotional. It's not that we want to be all emotion, but I'm telling you, when God engages your heart, there's some emotion involved. He's causing us in our hearts to give heartfelt, authentic worship to God. It's not mere form. This is the Spirit of God producing adoration and praise born out of a revelation of the grace and mercy of God that I didn't choose him. He chose me, and we're so grateful that he's forgiven us of all of our sin and washed it away, and we are new creatures in Christ. And you can't help when the Spirit of God gets a hold of your heart. You can't help but worship. And you're the circumcision. It's a Spirit of God produced worship. Not that you can't also do that with hymns and in traditional churches. You can. So I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying, is the Spirit of God inducing those words that you're singing? An adoration coming forth. Second, we are the true circumcision who glory in Christ Jesus. Jesus is our new boast. Jesus is our new treasure, and the joy and new, everything is new. He said, old things are passed away and all things have become new. And what we do, we glory in his working in our life. That's why I don't care less if anybody knows what I was before. Judge me if you want, because I know what I was. It doesn't matter. He made me new. Amen? He is my only hope of glory, Christ in me. My only hope of glory. Galatians 4, Paul said, but God forbid that I should glory in anything except the cross of Christ, whom I've been crucified to the world and the world to me. That's our glory, the cross of Christ. Why? Because I died with him. It's no longer I who live. Without crucifixion, there's no resurrection. Resurrection isn't part of the Christian faith. It is the Christian faith. Resurrection. Have you been resurrected? If you haven't, you need to be born again. Because that's what happens when you get born again. And he induces spirit adoration for God and Jesus, what he did. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, and we love not our life unto death. Every day I say, you got to give yourself the sentence of death. The old you tries to rise up and tries to get you back doing the old things that you were doing before you gave your hearts to Christ. You say, no, I give that the sentence of death. No longer I who live. You have to declare, I am redeemed from that old life. That's what faith is. Have thou faith, have it in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith. You have to get it on your mouth, what Jesus has done, to get it in your heart. I believe that. That's the word of faith, which we preach. So spirit is producing our worship, and Jesus is the focus of our worship, and we put no confidence in the flesh. Now, what's he talking about here? That we just never take a bath. We don't take care of ourselves. No. It's not the outward man. We're renouncing what in ourselves, apart from Christ, can do. Jesus said, if you abide in me, my word abides in you, ask whatever you will. He said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Are you doing what you do in the strength of the resurrection power? Or are you doing it out of your own strength because you have gifts and talents or you've learned some things? And then who gets the glory? We can cut ourselves. He was saying, where are the dogs, the evildoers? You can cut the foreskin. You can cut circumcision. We can give our bodies to be burned, it says. But if you don't have love, if you don't have spirit-induced love and adoration, it is nothing. You can speak in tongues of angels if you don't have love. If it's not produced by the Spirit of God, that you are the circumcision, that you glory in Christ Jesus and you don't put confidence in your own flesh. But love is our motive, and it seeks not its own way. So that's why we can do nothing through strife or vainglory, because we're motivated by Christ in us. And Paul said that when we do that and not rely, and when we don't rely on the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus as our treasure and our boast, what we're doing is mutilating the flesh. Let's confirm this by looking at Romans 2:8. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor in circumcision, but which is outwardly in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not by the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. Snap. That's a key. The difference is the true Jew, his praise, his glory is not from man. This is a hard one for all of us. This is layers that God has to show us our motives, show us why we do what we do. All human beings, apart from any work of the Spirit at all, love the praise of man. Even like this today, you know, that was awesome. But, you know, I can't live on that. That's not my foundation. Man is central. We want our ego built up when we live for the praise of men. We want it built up by other people. The whole orientation, inward orientation of a true Jew is that God has become supreme. We are the circumcision, the true Israel, the true heirs of Abraham, the true children of God. How? Because we worship God by the Spirit. It's a miracle, not a ritual. And we glory in Jesus. He's our supreme allegiance. And the flip side is we put no confidence in the flesh, in what we can accomplish. And evidently, those dogs and evildoers has taken circumcision and neglected the Spirit of God and the glorying in Christ and neglected putting no confidence in the flesh. And they were coming into the church. It was like a cancer. When you're competing, that's where competition goes, you know, because you're glorying. Oh, I'm doing more than they are. Oh, look, you know, it's like a game. Who does more? Who works harder? Who does this? Who does that? That's glorying in the flesh. So when he says put no confidence in the flesh, I want to ask, confidence for what? What's at stake here? We worship by the Spirit, glory in Christ Jesus, put no confidence in the flesh. So zero confidence in the flesh. Okay, how do we do that? That when we're putting confidence, what are we trying to be famous? What are we trying to, God, yeah, I know, we're operating out of the ego realm, being liked by people. I mean, you can fill it with all sorts of things. Confidence in the flesh. Everybody has their own little thing. But you're the one that has to get before God and allow the Holy Spirit to engage your heart and say, search me, O God, and try me and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in your way everlasting. I want everything I do to be out of a pure motive, but I don't even know my own motives half the time, God. So I don't want to do anything through strife or vainglory. So as minute I do, I ask you to arrest me. I mean, God will arrest me in mid-sentence. When all of a sudden I'm talking about something, all of a sudden I get in confidence in the flesh. Pride is coming out. You know, it's like, oh. But see, being aware of that is key. I'm tooting my horn here. Ugh. Telling everybody, everything I, not that you can't talk about what you do, but it's a heart intent. It's a heart thing. Be aware. And Paul goes on to say, if anybody has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I the more. And then he goes on to list his pedigree. Here he goes, Paul's fleshly pedigree. Circumcised the eighth day. Okay, he comes from the right lineage here, guys. He did the right things under the law. Of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of the Hebrews. He had it all. Concerning the law, a Pharisee. Oh, they were way up there. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. I mean, he had so much zeal. He was killing people thinking he was doing God a favor. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless, he said. Who's that remind you of? That kind of reminds me of the guy that went to Jesus and said, what do I do? What do I need to do, the rich young ruler, you know? And then Jesus told him four things and he goes, I've done all that. And then what did Jesus tell him? Go sell everything you have. See, Jesus went for the juggler right there. You really want God to be supreme? Not that we can't have things. Not that God didn't want to bless him. Actually, God told him the way he was going to be more blessed than he'd ever been. But money had him. He didn't have money. So he goes on to say, concerning the law, the righteousness which is of the law, I'm blameless. So this is my flesh pedigree. So what I'm gonna wind this down and continue this next week because there's just way too much. Because he said, but I had to come to the point where I count it all but dung. Yet indeed, you know, it's kind of like your breakdown is your breakthrough. A lot of times in the Spirit. Sometimes, and God in his mercy will bring you to the point where what you think you're so good at, and he will let you fail. So that you can count that but loss, and what do you gain? You gain Christ. Because he has a great, even dreams that God's put in your heart, it has to die first many times before out of resurrection it comes, because you're still in your own ambition, wanting to be used by God, wanting to do these things for God, of course for his glory, but really there's a lot of you in there. So he allows us to die. He allows things to happen in our life that seem to crush us. And if you will surrender, because you don't have to, you can still pick yourself up and put your bootstraps on and you keep trying and you keep trying and you keep trying because I can do this because you're really strong-willed. Or you can surrender and say, God, I can't do anything without you. I need you, God. All I want is to be like you, Jesus. I don't want to think about myself. I want to be free of myself and think about others and serve and wash feet. So he said he had to count it all but dung, rubbish, poop. That's what he counted all his pedigree. And look at, he had a good pedigree. There's a lot of things he could have prided in. But if he wanted to gain Christ, he had to let go of what he put his stock and his confidence in so he could grab on to what Christ had for him. To be found in him, not having any righteousness of my own. So just, you know, God's true disciples. I think about Peter. Peter was full of zeal. Peter was full of himself. Peter was full of good intentions. I mean, he cut off the soldier's ear when they came to get Jesus. He was going to protect Jesus. So what had to happen to Peter and Jesus said, Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. His breakdown was his breakthrough. But don't you know that was painful for Peter? Woo! Jesus looked at him and he denied knowing Jesus. He probably even used curse words. It sounded like he was going back to his old life. The old Peter was coming up and he had been following Jesus for 3 years. But that had to die, that ambition, that strength, that self-induced what he could do in the flesh. You know what happened when it did? Jesus rises from the dead and he says, tell the disciples and Peter that I'm alive. See, the mercy of God. He knew Peter was just beating himself up and thinking, oh. I mean, you know, that's also confidence in the flesh. To be disappointed in yourself is to have believed in yourself. Both of them. The ditch. But God is calling us to lose to gain. Whew! That I might be found in him. In him. See, in him we are complete. In him, we are enough. In him, you are right where you're supposed to be right now. God is molding you and making you on the potter's wheel, but you just have to quit kicking against the pricks and die. As long as you're kicking, there's not going to be any resurrection. You have to surrender. We all got mega pride and self-will that just doesn't want to die. But God gave us the power over that. But you have to choose. You have to want it. He had to count that as loss to gain Christ. So, Father, I thank you for here, your people today. God, we are your followers, Jesus. We desire to be salt and light in this world, God. Father, I want to be obedient to my master who said, as you wash the disciples' feet, even Judas, who you know was going to betray you with a kiss, Jesus, that you washed his feet. You loved him. God, you're calling us to love the hard to love. Anybody can love the lovely, you said, but we are called to love those that are hard to love, God, mostly ourselves. We're called to embrace and have compassion on ourselves, the things we like, the things we don't like. We have compassion, but we count it as loss because you accept us, you love us right where we're at. So, Father, I thank you for
everyone here today. I ask the Holy Spirit, just individually, you show each of us, God, where we're putting confidence in our flesh so that we can come to the cross and we can give it to you and we can experience resurrection in our life. As we humble ourselves, we experience grace. You said, and grace is you'll do in us what we cannot do for ourselves. And God, we can't love the hard to love in and of ourselves. We can't love our enemy without you. It's impossible for flesh to do that, God. So we surrender to your will. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, as we stop this service today, God, the Holy Spirit hasn't stopped. You continue speaking to your people, continue molding, continue making, continue conforming us into the image of your Son. Because we say yes. We say yes. We thank you for your grace. We receive your love. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to hear more of our messages or find more information on who we are, you can find us at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare Church. Thank you again for listening and have a good day.